Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. All right, cheers!
Cheers!
Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy, and welcome to 51 First Dates. You may hear that we're joined by two very special guests who we are so excited to have here. We have Justine and Natasha from Two Black Girls, One Rose, a bachelor podcast that we are obsessed with, so we're very excited.
Guys, we're like a Twitter.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to talk about The Bachelor and Bachelor Paradise and all things all Bachelor related. Like, I'm a little bit giddy.
I know. And you know, if you've been listening, you know that we have tried to limit our Bachelor speak because we understand that we are not a Bachelor podcast, but we have experts here. So now we sort of can be, but we promise if you're not a fan and you don't watch the show, it's still going to be a very interesting listen. We're going to try as we always do to relate The Bachelor to real life, which, I mean, we'll see how that pans out. We'll see how we do.
Sure. There are some things that relate to real life. I think all the bad things about real life, whatever. But yeah, we're so happy to have you guys here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. So excited to talk whole things Bachelor.
Oh my God.
With someone else besides each other.
Right. Yeah. So. It's really, I've been trying to get my, the like producer I'm working with on the project I'm on right now to talk to about The Bachelor and Bachelorette with me, and he doesn't watch the franchise, and I'm like, let me just show you a picture of Tyler C. Like, I just want to show you so you know what I'm talking about. He's a very sweet person, but he's like, okay. Like, that's how much I'm looking for friendships about The Bachelor. But anyway, as we always do, guys, we love to introduce our guests by asking you guys, do you have a worst first date?
Oh, yeah. We both do.
Amazing.
Wants to go.
Whose is, like, more depressing? They should go first. Ooh. If there's a sad one.
Ooh.
Depressing.
Or, like, a bleak one, you know?
If they're both just...
Yeah. Well, I have several, but the one I was going to share was the date I went on with a suspected Republican.
That's depressing.
That's pretty bleak,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
Not a bad one. So I work in education. I'm very, like, social justice, power to the people, pro-oppressed people, basically. And this guy decided he wanted to have a conversation about affirmative action on our date. And was one of those, like, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And was just saying all this nonsense that I was like, why am I doing this on a date right now? On top of other just, like, problematic, like, little tidbits that he said. So I don't actually know if he was a Republican, but it was pretty bad in that room.
Yeah.
Never went out with him again.
Are you going to get to his outfit?
Oh.
Because I told you about them. I would have gone after drinking one. I would have been out.
So from his picture, I met him on OkCupid. This was, like, at least 4 years ago.
Yeah.
From his picture alone, he looked very much like a polo wearing, like, fratty, preppy, like, generic white man. And that's usually not my type at all, but I was like, let's go for it, whatever, he's cute, we'll give it a chance. And then show up on the date and he's wearing Justine's complete nightmare shoe, which are New Balances. And, like, polo shirt tucked into, like, cargo pants. It was just, like, an awful...
The cargo. New Balance.
Yeah,
it's like a cartoon of that person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Caricature.
Completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was, like, what I saw on the profile, like, showed up live and in the flesh. And then we also had to talk about politics and shit on it. It was not a good one.
Don't understand the politics on a first date thing if you're going to be... I don't really understand it at all, but I also think things can come up, especially nowadays. So talk about it. But if you're going to be, like, let me play devil's advocate or be contentious about an issue that it just seems like he shouldn't be doing that as a white male.
Yeah, like, and white, then also because I worked in education, he was doing it because he was like, oh, I have someone in education, like, captive audience. Let me, like, spew all this shit I've been thinking my whole life.
Yeah. So it's the just the holy trinity of, like, well, I'm not going to list three things, but, like, like mansplaining and devil's advocating, those two things together of, like, let me tell you about this thing that you are an expert.
Right.
And I just don't want anyone to play devil's advocate on a first date. Mm-hmm. That is the initiator of like 50% of my fights with my boyfriend who I've been with for 6 years and is like a very, very liberal man. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I mean, I just think counter argument. And I'm like, no!
I want to hear it.
Yeah. No.
I don't care about it.
Right. And he's just not like, but I'm just trying to explain how they're thinking. I'm like, nah!
Like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But to be fair, like what I learned, because you always hear like don't talk politics on a first date, but I actually appreciated that we talked about it because had it not come up, he generally was a fine individual. Yeah. Like definitely not my type like physically, but we still had great conversation. We had a lot in common, but I'm glad the politics actually did come up because then I realized this is someone I don't want to waste time with.
Yeah.
So I kind of see, I do see the plus side to sometimes talking about like deep issues on first dates.
Yeah. No, I think that's actually a really good point. Mm-hmm. And it's like what comes up, comes up.
But yeah.
It's like, just, yeah, he shouldn't have been talking about affirmative action with you in that way.
In that way,
really not a first date move.
Yeah, and also, I think that, like, I'm also still stuck on devil's advocate. I'm not over it. But the whole thing of, like, I feel like on a first date, you should be trying to, like, not, I don't know, try to get someone talking about why they think what they think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not, like,
so that they call argue you back after.
Yeah.
Right.
It's why? Like,
I don't know. Like, don't you want to not be like
contentious on date one?
Yeah.
Or maybe he just didn't give a shit and wasn't into me, so he was like, whatever, I'll just go there. I don't know.
I feel like he does that on every person. Whatever the thing is, that the person knows a lot more about, then
he'll find something to pick.
Yeah. Well, some other girl's gonna have to handle his cargo shorts. Wow.
Yeah.
Shirts with pockets like that.
Yeah, I feel like on the flip side, maybe they won't ask you to carry their stuff. You know?
That's true.
In your bag. Like, I'm so tired of being like, can you just...
No.
I don't want to carry your shit.
Right.
Get your own purse.
That's true.
Get your own purse.
Get your own purse. You know? Like, I gotta carry all
that
shit.
That's a devil's advocate moment for the cargo shorts.
Oh my god, I did it.
Now we're gonna,
I'm just as bad as he is.
Please don't wear those.
Oh my god. So my worst first date was this year. It was 7 days into the new year.
This one
was wretched. This one was one that this girl here, Natasha, encouraged me to go on. I didn't want to go. I was like, you know, I don't know if he's my type. I don't really know. Da, da, da. She's like, no, go for the story.
Yeah.
Go for the food. Go for the... Okay, I get there, right? And I just told them what I had for lunch. Ground turkey and kale and then protein oatmeal. So I'm like on my healthy stuff, right? So I was doing dry January at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bottle of wine there. He was already drinking. I was like, oh, I don't want to drink. And he was like, are you serious? Like, you don't want to drink? And I was like, no, I'm not drinking right now. Mm-hmm. He was like, okay, well, I'm going to finish the bottle anyway. So he sat there and asked me some of the craziest racially charged questions I've ever been asked in my life.
Mm.
He asked me if it was like a black man's purpose to give black women black children. Like, very odd things. Strange. He told me everyone's Haitian. Everyone.
He's black, by the way.
He's black and Haitian. And grew up in New Jersey and had a Haitian accent. Not sure how that happened because he spent 8 hours in school. So, not really sure how that worked out.
He was trying real hard.
He was trying really hard. And he showed me probably anywhere between 100 and 350 pictures of his mother.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was like, everybody's Haitian. It's fine. Everybody's Haitian. Da, da, da. Like, he just kept going on and on. And he slammed the entire bottle of wine, and the restaurant had to kick us out.
Oh, shit.
Yep. This is like a sitcom. Worst first date.
And I was like, I'm staying because this girl said, stay for the story.
Why
don't you go?
We met him on New Year's.
Yep.
He provided some refreshments.
Yes.
On New Year's.
Yeah.
And he seemed fun enough. So.
Yeah.
But
wow. Yeah. In Natasha's defense, it's a great story.
It's a great story.
Yeah. But like, what the 7 days into the new year, too. Yeah.
I was like, wow, I don't want to date anybody.
That's how I feel.
Terrible.
100 pictures of his mother. Yeah. 100 to 300 pictures of his mother.
So many.
That's so troubling.
Yeah.
And I mean, like.
And he was like in his 30s. So I was like, why are you like this?
So this was him definitely though trying to like put on what he thought was his most impressive.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. That's horrifying.
Was it a thing where he was like, I'm going to show her how much I love my mother because women like boys who love their mother, or did he really love his mother that much, or both?
I think he was that narcissistic to where he thought I was interested enough to look at his mother that much.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was
That's really intense.
He was a loony tune.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like it's so bizarre. Well, like, we've talked about this in some of the dates that Kimmy went on.
Mm-hmm.
She, someone didn't drink or wasn't drinking that day or whatever, and she'll be like, oh, maybe I'll have one drink, but like, you don't want to.
Or I would be a little judgy, but it would be my problem in dry January, but I'd be like, uncomfortable because I'm like, where's the drink?
Yeah. But I feel like you would also then be respectful of the vibe the other person was setting down. You'd be like, okay, well, maybe I'll have a drink with dinner or I'll have one glass of wine or something, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, that is aggressive for someone to be like, I'm not drinking for the other person, be like, great, I'm going to get hammered.
Yep.
On this date with you.
Uh-huh.
As if you want to be on a date with a drunk person. Like,
right.
Even if things had gone better, just the fact that the bottle was already ordered right when you sat down.
It was already there.
Even if you were drinking, was he going to offer? Or was this his bottle regardless?
Oh, yeah, no. He was like, we're splitting this. I was like, no, I'm not drinking. He was like very offended.
Oh, jeez.
But then also like, I don't know, how do you guys feel about being ordered for?
I think it's cute into months.
Yeah.
But first date? What?
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
What if you don't drink wine?
And what if you don't drink wine?
I know. I have a friend who, like, wine gives her wild headaches, but she, like, what if you... I know.
Or just that, like, I just don't drink a lot of white wine. Like, I would, you know, I couldn't put down a half a bottle of white wine.
Right.
You know, it just would... Give me acid reflux. That's so cool. I'm sorry.
Those are both really shitty worst first dates. Right, I'm sorry.
Pretty bad.
Shitty, and then we're like, quote unquote, good. But yeah, no, that's shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There's
wow.
Where that came from.
The whole online dating. So you guys are both actively dating?
I have a boyfriend.
I'm not actively dating.
Okay.
Right. I'm on a little break.
Okay.
Yeah. As much as you want to, because we have, you know, many listeners just kind of having terrible dates and then wanting to take a break or with someone now. What's your like broad vibe on dating these days in terms of online versus not versus your break? I guess I'm just asking for more details on your lives right now.
Like, where is she going with this? So I did the whole online dating thing for... in some capacity for the past, like, 4 years, basically, since I've been in New York. I met my boyfriend now on Hinge, so it worked for me eventually. We've been together 7 months now. But before him, I tried all of the apps in some capacity, like, all of them, all the websites. They even have dating apps for Black people. Like, I've tried all of them, like, everything. And I would go through splurts, too, where I would, like, go heavy, and then I'd, like, come off for months and, like... because I'd be so jaded and just, like, over it. But, I mean, I never thought it would work for me. After a while, I became so jaded that I was like, I'm just going on these dates just to, like, put myself out there, just to, like, practice, go out, be around men, like, be around males. But never thought I would actually meet somebody that, like, it would turn into something real. And so, I don't know. I just feel like it's terrible advice, but it's just, like... keep trucking, like, keep trying. Like, honestly, that's all I did. I just kept trying, and then eventually somebody clicked, and it worked out. Not to say that that works for everybody, but I think I learned a lot through the 4 years of online dating. I learned a lot about, like, what I want. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about, like, what I deserve, what type of qualities I need. So as treacherous as it was and, you know, kept trucking for 4 years, like, I did learn a lot in the process. By the time when I met my boyfriend, like, he and I clicked very quickly and very fast, because I think we both knew, like, these are the qualities I'm looking for. We had those conversations, like, very quickly up front. And I feel like Natasha 3 years ago might not have had the confidence to do that or even really knew what I wanted. So those 4 years sucked, but in the end, like, it turned out all right because I learned a lot about myself, for sure.
Yeah.
What percentage would you say, if online dates fall into, like, a category of, like, good, bad, or meh, like, what percentage do you think each category is? Each,
good, bad, or meh.
Horribly worded. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say 80% were meh, and then maybe 10 on either end. Yeah. 10 were bad, and 10 were, like, good, I'd say. But most of the time, it was just meh. Like, it wasn't a bad date. It was just, like, we didn't have a connection. The conversation was, like, okay. But, I mean, I've surely been on a lot of bad dates, and I have stories, but most of them are most of them are uninteresting. They were just uninteresting dates.
Yeah.
I feel like that fits with our...
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. And, the keep trucking part as well, because I was just, like, single forever and am only in a relationship now. I feel like because this podcast made me keep going. I didn't have the self-motivation.
Right.
But I was like, we're doing this weird thing and kind of having rest, but I have to keep going.
Yeah.
But, no, I think, it's most of the dates were meh.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't expect, even with my current boyfriend, it wasn't, like, the craziest sparks and the perfect date of all times, but it was just a much sooner, like, click versus, and I had a couple of bad ones, but, like, my most horrible date stories don't even rival, like, when we get sent worst date stories, I'm like, shit. Like, it's, but the percentages are exactly what I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Justine,
I want to
get her on the online so bad. So I'm so curious to hear what she's gonna say.
I think breaks are important too.
My break is pretty necessary right now. And I do take long breaks, but as soon as I'm like, I'm ready to date, the next week I meet somebody, usually like within pretty quickly.
She meets people in the wild.
I do. I meet people at IRL. And that's because, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Shan Boody. She is a sex therapist who just wrote a book about dating. She just analyzed 6 women and wrote a book about it. And she, like, coached them into dating. It is amazing.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's called. Yeah.
What's
it's amazing.
Called?
You gotta get her on.
We gotta get her on.
Get Shan Boody on. She is phenomenal. And she's married, and they're, like, monogamish married.
Okay.
But she described online dating as a high-speed car. And she was like, if you don't know how to drive the car, don't get in the car. Because you're not going to know how to drive. You're going to get frustrated and you're going to get out. And that is how I feel about online dating. I don't know how to drive the car.
God, I totally... That's such a good analogy. Like, it's so accurate.
Yep.
And, like... I feel like there's probably a lot of people on the road who also don't know how to drive.
Don't
and it makes it
drive.
More dangerous for everyone else, the pedestrians, everybody.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I meet people in real life. It's great. But there are some times where I feel like my life is not all the way together, or like I need to focus on myself a little bit more. And just get some more of me together before I start inviting other people in. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to make new friends. Dating's not like treacherous to me. Because dating's kind of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you meet people in the wild?
Teach us your ways, because I've met nobody.
Close my mind. I'm so afraid
I've
of talking.
Like, I always in the wild.
Have my tits hanging out. I always have my tits hanging out. I always have my legs out. Like, I'm always hanging out. Dead ass. That's how I meet people.
I mean, that's inspirational.
It is.
Yeah.
For someone who wears moves 90%, including today. Is it a sack? Great. Put me in it. It's hard. I mean, we talk about it a lot, like how to... Like, sometimes I feel like now with online dating, it can feel weird to approach people in the wild. Like, I feel like... I don't know. My mom recently was like, well, you know... I was talking about a single friend. She's like, she should just start going up to people at bars. And I was like, she would never do that because, like, A, she's a little shy. And B, like, it feels almost like it doesn't happen now, but I know that's not true.
Yeah, it's not. I'm here to tell you. It's not.
I would say it definitely happens less, though. I feel like I got hit on way more in college than I do now.
Is that because of the environment?
It could be an environment, but I think also has to do with online dating, where people rely now on finding dating online, that men are less inclined to approach you in person. Not saying all men, not saying it's not happening, but I definitely feel like I got, like, years ago, before all this online dating boom, when you had to meet people, you had to meet them out, you had to talk to a girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like it's the landscape has just changed. Mm-hmm. I feel like now when you go to bars, everyone's with their friends, like, in groups among their friends, versus before, I felt like it was more open, like you were going to the bar to meet other people. Mm. I feel like that's not always, at least that's not always my feeling of it. Not to say that people definitely, there aren't, of course, there's men that are confident they're going to go up to girls regardless, but I don't know, I feel like online dating has changed a lot for men specifically.
Yeah,
their approach.
Because that bar approach used to be the, like, initial messaging of, like, I'll get your number and then text you this week. Like, but then it's more props to you, Jesse, for getting you in the wild. We like, have been trying to be like, how do people do this?
That's how I feel about online dating. I'm like, how do people do this? This is mad time. How do people do this?
How? It's a shit show, for sure.
Yeah. I think they both are, though. It's not like one is better than the other. I really don't think that.
It's the same pool of people.
Yeah.
Just different methods.
Yeah. Well, none of the people that I've met in real life have ever been on online dating.
Okay.
Interesting.
So maybe there's this whole world out there happening of analog daters.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I haven't online dated. I, like, missed the boat in a couple ways of, like, being single at the wrong times and being in a relationship at the wrong times and then being terrified of, like, putting pictures of myself online and whatever. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Mm. But, like, I feel like I would be... I'm kind of, like, team meet in the wild. Mm-hmm. Although I wouldn't have any idea how to do it. Mm-hmm. But the idea of like, someone swiping on photos of me just hits it, like, all my deepest insecurities. Mm-hmm. I think, too. You know, like, it's weird. It's, like, it's very prescribed, which I guess people... It does make it approachable for people who, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. There's something about
people are, like, ordering you, like, Amazon Prime. And it's weird.
I'm just like, I don't want to have to... shape my persona. I'm afraid of.
Yeah, it is weird. The whole, like,
the whole thing is weird.
Yeah, the photo, choosing the photos, like, it feels really fucking weird to, like, brand yourself as like something. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like your dating brand.
Yeah. Like, you're a terrible date, Natasha. We would call, like, the sailboat guy, which, like, I had a bad habit of, not cargo shorts, but, like, swiping on because. Yeah. Like, people, you see the same, like, they put themselves in front of a boat, and then they're that guy. That's sort of like,
It, for me, it would probably be, like, guys with dogs. Because that's the thing I saw, I was always on Kimmy's app, and I'd be like, oh, he has a dog. Yep. It's like, you get the thing, and you're like, he has a dog, so he can't have murdered anyone.
Or he knows a dog. Like, he could just know a dog.
Literally.
He could.
He might have one dog. Yeah. LOL. But
speaking of ways to meet people in the wild, let's talk about the franchise that really, you know, brought us together. Yeah. Or brought us to you. So, broadly, thoughts and feels on kind of why you started this podcast for people who don't know about it. Sure. And the franchise in general.
So, I've been watching The Bachelor since, like, season one. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember it coming out. I was like, very young, and I've watched almost every season in some capacity, and then Justine started watching Rachel
Lindsay season.
Okay.
And we got hooked on it. Well, she was already hooked. I got hooked, and we would sit and talk about it and analyze it until 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I would come over to her house, she would come over to my house every other week with a bottle of rosé, and we would just dissect it. Mm-hmm. And that last episode was literally the Super Bowl. We were like,
that literally was our Super Bowl.
We were cheering, we had a special meal, it was like a whole thing. Uh-huh. And since we were doing that anyway, we were like, let's just get some mics.
Podcast. Also, during Rachel's season, because, I mean, I'd been waiting for the first Black Bachelorette literally my whole life since I've been watching this damn franchise.
It was a fucking long wait.
A very long wait.
Yes.
And so during her season is when I, like, really dove into the Bachelor world and started listening to Bachelor podcasts. Mm-hmm. and there's a million and one out there. And as I was listening, I realized there's no people of color in this space. And so when I was listening to their recaps of Rachel's season, there were like little nuances that were just missing because there was no woman of color voice to dissect this woman of color who's dating on TV.
Yeah.
So we definitely saw like a little niche little gap there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we recap the show every week, just like a lot of the Bachelor podcasts. But I feel like we definitely bring a different angle to it as women of color dating in New York. Mm-hmm. And we also both very... like social justice oriented and like pro women. And so there's a lot of contents and themes and topics that come up from the show that we just love to talk about anyways. And I think our listeners love to hear that perspective and those deep dives into like toxic masculinity. And so we definitely address that in our show too.
And we have the same values, same core values, and completely different tastes in men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that makes it very interesting.
It really interesting to listen to, like what she likes versus what I like can't stand.
Mm-hmm. And approaches to dating too, as you can already tell. Like we are very different, the same but different in many different ways. Uh-huh. So it makes the conversation fun.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like it's truly, it's like being privy to probably the conversations you had before. That's we were trying to, in one of our, sorry guys, pretend Bachelor podcast episodes, trying to like understand why we liked watching it so much. And I was like, I loved the conversation around it. But I think a lot of those conversations can be, like sometimes the podcasts I listen to before I've even seen the episode. Like, I'm not a good enough fan. But some of those conversations are just so... like, especially if they're people who have been on the show, can be just so super heteronormative, just super white, super, like, they're not critical. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Yeah. Part of that you want to get on the next show, whatever, but I really appreciate that with your podcast and some other ones where it's like, I like the conversation because I see things on that show and I'm like, how the fuck is this happening? Going to the masses. I just hope nobody's taking that and being like, that's how dating should be.
Right.
Yeah.
And then other tiny moments where I'm like, that's good. Follow that.
I feel like one of the reasons this season of The Bachelorette, Hannah's season, was like pretty well received and pretty widely talked about was because, and I do not think Hannah is perfect, I do not think she's a perfect angel from heaven, but she like had some agency, which she would say no to things, she would correct people, she wouldn't accept treatment she didn't like. I mean, she did a couple times and like, look, lots of problems. Lots of whatever. But I was just like, oh my God, it's such a low bar that we're seeing a Bachelorette. But like Rachel did this too and I think did it better because she's also, you know, she was a little older. She's an attorney. Yeah. She had like a, you know,
life experience.
lot more gravitas than sweet Hannah. Mm-hmm. But just, it's so rare to see women on this show really like stand up for themselves and have agency, and it is a thing that always kind of pops for me.
Yeah, I think that Hannah B was a pleasant surprise for us.
Huge surprise.
So we almost didn't recap the season, we almost ended the podcast because we were such not Hannah B fans from Colton season. Our podcast is now on Patreon, where we post our episodes for $5 a month for our fans. But we moved to Patreon because we were not Hannah B fans at all and didn't want to do the podcast at all. And then by the end, she, as you said, she just kind of developed into this like real human woman with agency and a voice and like would put guys in their place and talked a lot about a lot of different issues around like faith and sexuality and things that are very relevant to like what's going on in like modern dating Me Too world that we live in right now. She made it really interesting season to watch.
Yeah, she was a surprising like breath of fresh air. Very shocking.
It was, I started watching, I had kind of sworn off. During Colton season, I was like, I can't. I was like, I gotta stop. This is too much. It's too much. What a potato. Like, I don't know.
It was the opposite of Hannah. Like, just take whatever.
I was like, are you a person? Like, do you have any
opinions?
Like, I wanted to just throw rocks at him and just see if he even flinched. I was like, what? I don't know what you are. But not rocks. That sounds
funny. Stone him to death.
Throw a nice cushy, those balls you get at the grocery store, you know, something soft just to see if he would move. He just seemed so like whatever. But I forgot what I was going to say, but I'm sure it was very deep and meaningful. But yeah, oh, but I got back into this season because my favorite drag queen of all time, Alaska, was a judge on a platoon. I was like, well, I gotta fucking watch because Alaska's on.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, like, I'm kind of intrigued, and I hadn't liked Hannah in the last season. Right. But
yeah.
Do you guys have favorite seasons or favorite contestants in terms of, like, non-potato-ness?
Oh, potato-ness. I mean, Rachel Lindsay, of course, obviously.
Yeah, queen. Yeah.
Love her to death. Ooh, let me think back.
I know.
Damn.
Well, let me think back before season.
Yeah, I can't even remember everyone's name.
Oh,
yeah,
you know, like, who's one of my favorites is Elise from Colton's season. She was a makeup artist and went on
Dates
with him.
Yes.
She was great.
And
Cindy
then she sent
was great.
Herself home. Yes.
She sent herself home like in a wedding dress. She was bomb. She was amazing.
Everyone kept sending them
home. Yeah. Yeah. The other four or five people.
Yeah.
Send themselves home.
But she was great. And then you said Sydney.
Sydney.
Yes.
Sydney was great. Didn't get a chance to take her workout class in the city.
I saw her at Gutter in Greenpoint, like the bowling
bar.
Oh,
really?
Saw her, and my friend went up to her room. She was just like, "You're legit. Like, you're.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you did a great job." And she was like, "Thank you." She was like with her friends, and
oh,
I don't know.
Cool.
That's the only Bachelor person I've seen in the wild.
I want her to have more storylines.
Oh, you saw Tyler. I was just listening to that episode.
What?
I saw him
that's awesome.
When the show was still on too.
Ooh.
At Grand Central, and like definitely he was like running around New York, but it was before I feel like all the like tabloid
humongous.
Yep. 4-5, I was waiting for the 6. He was like diving over to get to the 4-5, and I was like, I had just been like looking at him on Instagram because I was listening to a podcast. And then I was like, what? It was him, and he was in like, he posted some picture later, or Nick Bial did, or someone.
Yeah.
I like try not to follow them, but then I'll go like Google.
Yeah,
I'll go on Instagram
and look around.
Some like black t-shirt. Like, he wore an outfit like this, like on the one of the last episodes. I was like, that reminds me of jeans. Just he had a hat on, but he was really tall. He was really hot.
He's delicious.
He definitely looked right over me, like it was just like kind of person who would never know I exist.
Oh no,
like, no, fine. But just because he's so tall.
Yeah. Not like sweaty after workout, but it was like I had a moment. I texted people ferociously.
He's just such a striking person on television. So I can't even imagine what he looks like in person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was almost like I was seeing a way bigger celebrity the way I was. I was just like, whoa. Just the timing. I just been looking at his fucking Instagram.
I mean, he enraptured America. He snatched us all.
He did.
He snatched us up.
Yep. Parked in our hearts. And there he remains.
Yup.
Do you guys think he has any chance of being the next Bachelor? We're disagreeing about this right now.
No, I think no.
Oh, I mean, only one.
Gigi had to
run around with Gigi around New York.
I wouldn't go on The Bachelor if I was him. What?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we've talked about this. Like, okay, I get it. I mean, you just, like, pop. But it's just, I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Like, not, yeah. He's, I think he was very good at being on that pedestal we all put him on, but he's just another dude.
How dare you?
Well, and he should be, I think. I think he's well deserving of this. He is fine now. Yeah. Everybody knows he's fine. He's getting all the attention. It seems like a very nice man.
Yeah.
He
promotes his friends like charity
all
the time.
That is children.
Children, food.
He's the only one
Tyler
I actually follow.
Yeah.
That's the only one from season I don't follow.
He always has a little social justice angle every now and then.
That's true. What he's doing is actually.
He's using his platform for good as well.
Yeah,
I would date the first model who slid into my DM.
Yeah.
I got famous through some show. So
why not?
Right.
Just
bitter.
It's a little bitterness there.
No.
Let's take a tiny break and we'll be back with more.
Yeah. Well, we were just chatting about how thank you, listeners, for being here for 100 episodes. This is our 100th episode, which we did not quite compute.
Yay!
That's so
this
cool.
is our 100th episode extravaganza.
We would not doing it if you all weren't being so supportive and liking and listening and just being there. So thank you for keeping us going. It's actually been a cheesy time, but it's been so fun to have like a creative outlet every week, the quote-unquote creative. But it's fun to have also a standing friendship appointment since
for sure. Since we're now a bi-coastal in a bi-coastal relationship.
It's been like you were by far the friend I've kept in touch with the most, which is it's just we have the standing appointment.
Totally. We talk for an hour a week.
Right.
It's like more than I talk to anyone.
including that's a lot.
But thank you, listeners. We love you so much and we're happy to have you, and sorry that we didn't think about, like, a 100th episode of Extravaganza, but this is better. Talking about The Bachelor is the cherry on top of these 99 episodes, so I'm thrilled.
Awesome. I feel honored to be here.
Yes, very.
We're just so psyched. But in that vein, okay, let's talk about the franchise as a whole.
Cool.
For a moment.
Let's do it.
Or for longer than that. What do you guys think makes, I mean, I feel like I always have the thing where I jump on board and off board with the franchise, mm-hmm. and it's usually because there's a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are the things that, like, make you guys invest super hard? What are the things that make you guys hop off board? What do you guys think keeps you coming back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the podcast.
Yeah, definitely the podcast.
No choice now.
Yeah, but to be like 100% dead ass now, I don't know. After Hannah's season, because I was like, oh yeah, no, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Because it was this girl. I would have been so pissed if all that unfolded and we did not record it.
Yeah, I know.
So now I don't even know how to tell what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Which I hate to give them that amount of props.
I know.
You know? Because mm-hmm. that's really giving them props. They knew what they were doing to some extent. But also just The Bachelorette, the show, is by far my favorite.
Mm.
So I go through all of this just to watch The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Same.
Yeah.
Because it's less watching The Bachelor and having it be all the women,
yeah.
there's something, and I still fucking watch it, and I do hate myself and whatever, but, like, there's something, you know, tough.
Like, archaic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But watching a bunch of jack dudes, mm-hmm. you know, like,
do the same,
wave their metaphorical dicks around is kind of fun. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I think for me, what keeps me coming back, besides being obligated to the which I love to do.
Yeah.
And us recording every week is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think, and what we've talked about a lot in our podcast, is now the real world is getting, like, intertwined in the show. There's been scandals every season with, like, people posting things on Instagram or, like, crazy things come up. Judd this past season had a girlfriend that, like, played out in real life, but then we were, like, watching the show and watching Judd. So I feel like that almost is making it interesting to watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, even now in Paradise, they have this prior thing happened at Stagecoach that, like, we don't know what the hell happened, but, like, while we're watching the season, Blake is, like, posting on his Instagram story, like, dropping receipts about, like, his hookup with Kaylin on Stagecoach. And so I wish the franchise would incorporate that, the real world stuff, more into the show and not pretend like all these people don't have Instagrams and we haven't watched their whole lives play out. Mm-hmm. But I think that also is keeping me around as well, because
mm-hmm.
it's bringing up more drama that makes it good television. So.
Yeah.
That is a great point. I was kind of whining about, well, I haven't seen this drama, like the actual, who's in it, but it is more interesting. It's just like, I want some footage from Stagecoach.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
What is your take on all of that, Blake? Maybe just Blake.
Just Blake?
I think I have an idea, but just for broadly, just in, you know. Let's describe him for people who may not watch the show, but have probably maybe dated or liked someone like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were huge Blake fans from Becca's season.
Yeah.
Like, we fucking hated Garrett with all his Trump shit that come out.
That was a bummer of an ending.
That was a very bummer.
And then he was dumb on top of it.
And he was just dumb. So.
Like, what?
And not cute enough. Just
not
so many
and
things.
And nothing's cute enough for when you're liking memes like that. But.
That too.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So we loved Blake.
Yeah.
And so, like, our first episode of this season was called The Mighty Has Fallen because we were huge fans. He was very beloved. And then we just saw kind of, like,
saw all of his personal wrongdoings just unravel in front of him. And he's also 30.
Yeah. Mm.
So for him to be at this kind of, like, established big age and be dealing with the 24-year-old beauty queen, it's like really ridiculous to watch. And I just don't understand why he didn't think it would turn out this way.
Mm-hmm.
How could he think it would not
all
end
blow up,
up
in his face
like this?
Yeah.
How?
I think also another thing we talked on our podcast is that Blake he's now, he's like this player that's come out on the show. He's like DMing all these girls and he's like having sex with everyone. But like, I don't think he's really that in real life.
No.
Which is why it's all blowing up his face, because he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, a real player would like, make sure his hoes or whatever
are in line.
Like, that's what a real player does. But Blake is like flailing and the girls are coming out the woodwork and talking to each other. Like, he generally is an idiot. Like, doesn't know what he's doing and is getting caught. And now he's had a fall from grace, essentially, and he's trying to repair himself in paradise. And it's kind of just funny to watch.
It's entertaining. Again,
I can't tell if he is a nice guy who is, like, a little drunk on success, or if he's doing the fake, like, nice guy thing.
Yeah.
Of, like, I'm going to listen to you. I want to know your thoughts and feelings. Tell me how this is. You know what I mean? There seems to be a little element of that, and I didn't watch Becca's season. I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't really, like, that was one I hopped off board with.
Okay.
But, like, it's hard to tell if when he was on a date with Tayshia and they were having this, like, great conversation, I was like, oh, he's, like, nice. He's, like, listening. Mm-hmm. He's, like, so much better that, like, he's asking her questions about how she feels. Like, which is not in Bachelor Nation is wild. Right. Like, you know, like, that's a wild, like, you know, thing for a man to do. But it was weirdly...
I think everyone's trying to read Blake because he, as you said, he's like, he very much comes off as like a nice guy, but like, he had sex with two girls in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then was DMing like five others. Like, how good of a guy can you be? So I feel like it is a little bit of an act. He might be just like a sleazy kind of guy underneath.
But then,
I don't know.
Like I said with Tyler C, like, he is just living his life
He
is single. And it seems like the lines were really, really blurry in terms of the meaning of the word friend and in terms of the meaning of the word relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are his fault at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. That is up to both people, but if he did not clearly define that and Christina's upset because they were more than friends or whatever, then that's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to own up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Kaylin. If Kaylin thought they were
in a committed relationship,
exclusively dating,
and he didn't think
that's
that,
his fault.
There's something wrong.
But
then when he posted those texts,
I get it.
Like, that was wild. Don't do that. Probably ever.
Yeah.
But, like, it was like, oh, shit. This is not. I think almost a language that gets thrown around in The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And Bachelor in Paradise, like, we're dating. It's just, it muddies it more than, like, the real world, which is also already muddied.
Wait, I didn't see the text. What did they say?
Ooh.
Oh, Lord.
Is it dramatic? Oh, my God.
Very.
They're drunk texts. You probably both know better than me.
So, Kaylin, on the show, in Paradise, you've been watching
I fell asleep. I was trying to catch up last night, and I fell asleep halfway through, but it was because I started watching it at, like, midnight. So I fell asleep at, like, 1:30.
Yeah.
Like, I was really fighting. I was like, I want to catch up because I knew we were talking about it, and I was like, I don't know.
But the early drama. Yeah. With Kaylin.
Mm-hmm. So Kaylin came into Paradise. Her story was that her and Blake were, like, in an exclusive relationship. Mm-hmm. They'd been texting and FaceTiming and a whole thing. She had a whole story about they all went to Stagecoach, and they ended up hooking up one night. And then that next morning, she found out, or he told her, that he hooked up with Christina the night before. Mm-hmm. And he was also DMing Hannah G and Tayshia, and, like, all this shit came out. So she came to Paradise with that story, that he, like, ghosted her and treated her horribly and called her a mistake and told her they had to keep it a secret. And then Blake posted on his story some receipts, which were text messages from Kaylin during that Stagecoach weekend, where she essentially was, like, inviting herself over, said exclusively it's just for sex. And then we saw the texts afterwards where they were both in cahoots, like, trying to cover it up. So
it doesn't look great.
It doesn't look great for Kaylin.
She's trying her best.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like Kaylin's... always a little, like, I'm like, why are you crying all the time? I don't know. Okay.
She's a little messy.
Yeah, a little
messy. She's messy.
Yeah. Messy. I mean, I would be too, I think. If I were in Paradise, I'd be a goddamn disaster. Holy shit. Yeah.
And I don't know, this might have been something you said in your podcast or another. I feel like I've just been, like, listening. But I did, back to Tayshia going on the date with Blake, I appreciated that she just was like, that was a date that went well, but then it didn't work out. I don't know if you guys said this. I'm feeling some
stuff.
I just thought that was, like, you know, me segueing this to real world advice. I was like, she just was kind of like, no. Like, I guess it came up a little bit more, but not, like, with him, it was like, that date seemed great, but now I'm finding out this other stuff. Like, I'm just letting go of that great first date. I know first date's very different in real life than on Bachelor in Paradise, but I appreciated that.
Yeah.
That was something I was like, just like,
it seemed pretty healthy for a member of Bachelor Nation. I was like, you might be too mentally healthy for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Tasia's like a complete opposite of Annalise. Annalise had one conversation with Chris Bukowski, and she was saying in her confessional, this is the most confident I've ever felt, I can see us at the end together. She had a conversation. Tasia went on a full date and was like, that was a good date.
But
moving on. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Annalise and Cam are both in the, like, I met my husband's best wife camp, and it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
So what are your thoughts on, I think we're all, like, Mike for Bachelor. What are your thoughts on his role in Paradise as it stands now? And what, I feel like he's getting an edit that leaves this possibility of being Bachelor open. I'm like, just fucking do it. I don't need to see Pilot Pete. I forgot about him already.
I know.
But
so did I.
Like, I really don't.
I like his dad. I want his dad to be the Bachelor with that
mustache.
I
love the mom.
And like the dad's mustache and the fact that he cries. I was really attracted to Pilot Pete's dad.
Yeah.
He had great parents.
But yeah.
I guess I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, please don't just have this be it for Mike.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would be devastating.
I think last night's episode, or this week's episode, both episodes, whatever, it's a lot of content for information. He was definitely getting a Bachelor edit, I think. And we talked about on our podcast, we don't know who else from Paradise would come out as the Bachelor outside of Mike. He's the only one that's getting, like, the Bachelor edit. All the other guys seem to be pretty messy at this point, or not really getting that, like, limelight that you need.
Yeah, they're not getting the time.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin is single, he's cute, but he's not getting no time.
He's not
going
to be the Bachelor.
And he's not going to be the Bachelor.
I will put something that I definitely am also stealing from. It could be Clay. I feel like lightly people talked about, but I don't think he would ever beat out Mike. Like,
no.
He's having just the a night. Like, you're empathetic to, or sympathetic to him on his edit a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's messier. You're right.
Yeah. I feel like if Dean had gone away and come back more clean cut without a mustache and with an apartment, he lives in a van now. Like, I would be like, he's someone who I can see almost Nick Viall-esque, like, them keeping bringing him back. People like him. He's got just enough of, like, that bad boy edge. Like, he had a downturn. Like, I feel like they like people who've got a little bit of that edge. They've had a little bit of an up and down journey or whatever.
With the franchise,
That's what they did with Colton. They tossed him around like a rag doll back in Paradise last season.
That's true.
Which he was all over the place.
Which he might be. He might be a rag doll. We don't, there's no proof that he's a rag doll.
Stones
on
him. Like,
not
catch a football. I don't actually know what position he was playing. If he'd be catching, but, you know, assuming.
Okay, can we just real quick all say, like, our number one person we'd like to smash from Paradise?
Ooh.
Or just
from Paradise.
From Paradise. Yeah, current. I would say current. It's too broad. If we go too broad, it's going to get wild. I think current Paradise.
Current Paradise.
Okay.
Who we'd like to smash.
And this is just smash. This isn't fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh. Oh, can we fuck Mary Kill? That's such a better idea.
Okay, I love that better. I love that better.
Thank you.
I'm gonna kill Blake.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
okay.
I just
woman,
don't
though.
Have a use for him, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like, I feel like I would really fuck Dean and marry Mike. Is that basic?
That's fine. All
those are the most obvious choices.
I
almost jumped in and went first because I knew I was gonna snatch the most obvious choices. We can all have the same ones.
Yeah.
But
well, I'll go next.
Okay.
I was gonna do the same. Marry Mike.
Really?
Fuck Dean. Kill John Paul Jones because I fucking cannot stand that dude.
Oh, damn. Yeah. JPJ
would be my friendship pick. I think he's I think he's the dude. You know, like, from, you know.
But he's trying so hard at it.
Do you think so?
It's rushing me.
I think he's too dumb to try hard. I don't know.
But
I
don't
like
he's trying something.
I'm like, we can't.
I'm not.
I can't.
I can't.
Oh my God, this must have been the part I fell asleep for.
Yes, fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
That's
it's happening.
Upsetting and surprising.
Very, very, very upsetting.
For her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like very mature and together and like mentally healthy, and he's, you know,
a child.
I don't know that he like owns shoes. You know, it's just like, it's like, what does your apartment look like, man? Like, it's
how many roommates are there?
Yeah. Right.
Do you share a room?
Yeah,
you in a room share.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. When he vomited up that taco, though, that was good TV, man. That's really, really good TV.
That was terrible.
No, that's when I knew I definitely didn't like him. Like, I don't trust people who don't like spicy food.
And that overreaction and
that was a lot.
That was not extreme. Into it. Yeah, poor hot sauce Jane.
Yeah.
Not her time.
I already forgot.
She was trying to.
She was.
She really was. She had a thing. She came in with a hot sauce thing. She was like, look, I got a thing. They're going to have to keep me.
Yeah. And she left night one.
Yep. Okay.
Is this all based on who... Like, I have to pick three men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, that's everyone fair. Listening, we're recording.
Because I was like, I'd kill.
There is another... Okay. We're recording the Wednesday before...
Oh, yeah.
This the Thursday before you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So there is a new episode that we haven't seen yet.
Right, yes.
So if any of these people have done horrible things, we're not assholes. We just don't know about it yet.
Yeah. All right. I would marry Mike, and fine. I'm... Sorry, I wanted to be creative, but I was like, no.
It's the most marriage material,
yeah,
I feel definitely. Like. This could be my lack of, like, remembering past Bachelor, but I might fuck Derek. I'm kind of into his vibe right now.
I'm into Derek.
I don't know, and I'm feeling for, like,
I like the dark hair, dark beard combo.
Yeah.
Derek seems like a real person to me, too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Whenever they have, like, moments with him, I'm like, you seem like someone I could hang out with and talk to. Like, he doesn't seem so glossy like some of the contestants
do. But I think, I feel like he has a weird background. Or was he, like, kind of a shit? I don't know.
He's engaged to Taylor the last season of Paradise.
Oh,
okay. So he's there for the right reasons. He's looking for real love.
Like I must admit, I didn't watch Paradise, like, religiously last time. Oh, and then I'd kill Cam, but that's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, that's easy, but, like, none of them wants that again. For me, that's just, I know he had, like, a little short film about his sadness, but I'm not, I'm more like, it just makes me, like, this is awkward. You're making Kaylin look sympathetic because she's awkward about your poems. I just
read her his midnight, like, journaling Ramblings. To her, I was like, what is this person? Like, is he real?
It's like, I expect when I like a woman for her to like me, and like that kind of vibe.
Right.
But like, continues to happen on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I forgot to even think about Dylan, but in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I would definitely kill Cam. Cam has got to go. Cam has got to go, because the only thing worse than a poet is a rapper.
Yeah,
got to go.
Oh, really pushing that rap thing.
Rap,
yeah.
That's hard to watch.
Yeah,
yeah, bad.
And I think I would actually fuck Clay.
Oh,
Oh, I forgot about
Clay's got a really great body.
Yeah,
it could be interesting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be fun.
Uh-huh. She seems sensitive too.
I know.
I like him a lot. I'm sad.
I like him a lot too.
In, like, a precious, adorable way, though.
Yeah.
We don't like him in, like, let's...
Yeah, let's go, kind of way.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to like guys who are more like Clay, so this is me putting it out into the universe.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I should be liking guys who
like
are more like Clay.
True.
You know? Right?
Yeah. Well, I feel like the whole thing with... sorry to be interrupting.
No, go ahead.
I feel like with Clay, it was all like, oh, he's got to be more aggressive, or it was all the normal... I did not like that part of that episode. Just, like... Why can't it be nice that he's, like, not super aggressive?
Yeah, like, not territorial. They weren't territorial. Giving him shit for not being territorial. I'm like, it's fucking guys.
Nice.
It's gross.
Yeah.
And I, but.
My issue with Clay, though, is his lack, it comes off as lack of confidence.
Well, he does have a lack of
confidence. Because we were saying, too, like, he doesn't have to be aggressive and, like, you know, quote-unquote manly. You can still be a little bit more passive and be that kind of guy, more, like, gentle.
Yeah.
But, like, own that. Be confident in that. He just always kind of just seems...
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And maybe it was that people weren't naming it correctly.
Yeah.
But, like, it is more just confidence. Yeah, he's a little, a little too... Yeah, because then it becomes, if you're not confident, then it can become a thing of, like, oh, woe is me, or, like, I'm sweet, and again, that, like, male thing of, like, then I should have your attention.
Right.
So, yeah. I have to be that way at work. I have to be aggressive about how passive I am. Because people read it that I don't care about my job. Right. You know what I mean? So I'm being aggressive about, like, I try really hard to be at 50 out of 100 and 0. So let's just not even go there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. No, right. Yes.
You know? Yeah, and then marry Mike. Duh.
Yeah. This is my thing.
Mrs. Johnson.
How can they not make him the Bachelor? It's like he everyone.
That would be so
everyone
wild.
Yeah,
I can't imagine who.
If they don't, I feel like if what, like done. Just done with the Showtime. Yeah. Because
who else are they going to bring up from the depths of Bachelor dungeons? Like,
yeah, like dredge some Ari bullshit up when they have like really good.
It feels. Knock on wood. I can't imagine them not, but we have not.
Yeah.
I feel definitely more hopeful after this past week's episode.
Yeah.
We definitely got like a full glossy little Bachelor edit.
Mm-hmm.
So. We shall see. We'll this see. Franchise also isn't shit, so they could also just pick somebody else and be like, fuck it, awesome.
If you guys were magically executive producers of The Bachelor,
what
would be the first change you would make?
Ooh. We just discovered this.
Oh.
Casting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we just discovered this last night. I would change the intro packages. The intro packages are super corny.
Yeah.
They're whack. They're always just like kind of something that they set up. We would like go through their Instagram.
Oh yeah,
together
and integrate that
so
into
smart.
The show.
Like,
mm-hmm. Bring all of that stuff in and that stupid like vlog situation that they have going. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Send everybody a Sony. And then have everybody like vlog their like social media world, maybe a little bit into their like what they like to do for fun. Their job doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then and that would be the intro.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my, because I know most of the listeners are not as into it as maybe like people in New York and LA.
Mm-hmm.
So like the middle of the country couldn't maybe adapt to like what I would actually want to do for real life stuff. So that would be my first change.
Yeah, I just like integrate. Let's stop pretending that they don't all have Instagrams and all like talk before the show and like integrate it into the show some way. It feels they're trying to separate the Instagram world and keep Bachelor like very sacred, and it's like, but you know we live in 2019 and we all live on Instagram. So just like somehow incorporate the vlogging and the real lifeness into the show. So I agree. I also would change the casting.
Yeah.
Where are the people of color? Where's the hair diversity? Where's the body diversity?
Oof.
Where's people with disabilities? She really wants to see someone with a hijab.
Hello. Hello. Would love to see someone.
Where
with
is the diversity of all, not even just racial, but like just of all kinds.
Yeah.
Even body diversity.
Totally.
We've never seen a woman above a size 4 on the show.
No,
that's insane.
Or like anyone who's funny. I don't know. Like anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not really, but also just, I feel like I always, my fantasy is that they do one season of The Bachelor with just a group of normal people, of just people who look normal, whose
look
confidence
normal.
Is weird,
yeah.
who have neuroses,
right?
You know,
I feel like it would be better.
It's
I don't
so
need
to watch
any more people. Like that's not
just some weird.
Even
I don't know
paradise. Yeah,
yeah, like yeah.
And even like Becca M, who also, I forgot to list her as one of my favorite people.
Oh, she
ever.
Oh, the younger.
The younger girl
with
the short hair.
Yeah.
Even her having short hair. There were so many articles about
her
having short hair.
Wasn't that wild?
Yeah, not shocking. But it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
She had short hair.
Yeah.
And
yes.
She was like a beautiful little white girl.
Yes.
Like,
it was like there
like
was
a
size 16 black girl with natural hair on the show. That's what it was like.
What they were tuning. But she literally was the first person with like a pixie cut ever. On the show. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and this is all the shit that I feel
insane.
And I didn't watch
it.
That season, but I can remember because she's the girl who went missing, quote unquote, went missing.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah. I remember reading about her, but I didn't actually watch that full season.
Yeah.
And so it didn't strike me that, but that's insane. That's nuts.
Like, I mean, of course, racial diversity, but even just hair diversity.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't even gotten
haven't,
into that territory. That's crazy.
Rachel had to meet bars higher than anyone else. You know. Oh, God. She's, like, so smart. I was like, best friend. Like,
yeah, what?
So smart.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, too, is that I feel like I always appreciate the seasons more when people are smart. Like, even...
That is true, actually.
Not remember her name. The girl who... Andy, who was also a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, didn't love her season. There were some weird things, whatever. But that was one of the first seasons I watched. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, she's a smart together lady.
Right.
She's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. She's this. She's that. Like, mm-hmm. she's a person.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and it's funny because I had similar feelings about Hannah B. where I was like, oh, my God, I'm fucking beauty queen. And then she
ended up surprising us.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
It explained that intro. I will never forget over that commercial, that like high res crazy commercial they gave her.
Oh yeah,
it was like dope, and I was like, "Why did they give her all this?"
And all of her like, of her branding was like Cinderella themed.
Yeah,
that was weird. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I bet it pulled in that like Southern core audience, like Christian audience.
Oh, yeah.
That, but then it kind of like at least it became a conversation.
Yeah. It went rogue.
Yeah.
Like Christian girls, fundamentals.
I can't believe, because she got a lot of shit apparently, and that like there are like Luke P fans. I was like, to anyone I even.
Wait, what?
Fans.
Yeah,
born again. Fans. Like you, sorry, no shade to being at whatever religion you are.
Right.
But I think like, there was problematic, like, putting your religion on someone else called out in this show. And then people, like, rallied behind him and probably not people we interface with. And I've been called out on this podcast before by dividing. But just, like...
But a huge part of Bachelor Nation's core fan base.
Yeah, it's Bible Belt. Yeah,
it's Bible Belt, Middle America.
I'm not in.
P fans.
And to me, it's shocking that, like, just because I just saw with him, like, oh, this is the toxic masculinity I may tell, like, men in my life, like, smaller micro versions of, like, oh, that's that.
Yeah.
But then this was it, like, on display where you could not fucking deny it, in my point of view, for other people.
Totally. 100%. And then to see this girl, I think the thing that blew my mind consistently throughout this season was when it got to the point where we all realized that the producers weren't keeping him around anymore. Because they always let the villain, they always let go when it gets to, like, eight people. You know, there's like a point where they're like, all right, no one wants to see this guy anymore or this girl anymore. Let's let her go.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was like, okay, the producers aren't keeping him because it's way past that point when they cut the villain.
Right.
And he's still here because she wants him there. And it was this thing where I was like, it was as I was gaining respect and like I was starting to like Hannah, I was also seeing how this shit was working on her.
Yeah.
And there are ways where it was powerful because I've seen this play out in relationships, like friends' relationships where I'm like, how do you not see
he sucks.
Fucking is not nice to you, you know? And it's like, it was eye-opening to see it in that way, even though it was so, you know, everything in Bachelorette Land is shiny and edited and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I can't imagine anyone seeing that. I can't imagine anyone seeing that as anything other than super fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some crazy people out there.
There are.
We do live in America.
No, we do.
It is.
If we get added by any Luke P fans.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Sure, they're out there. The trolls that just like go through the interwebs.
Yes.
like
the barbs?
Mm-hmm.
The barbs do that.
And the
beehive.
Yeah,
that's true.
Uh-huh.
Even for like when I'm like, yeah, but yeah. And then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Guys, as a quick wrap up, if you could design a perfect reality TV show about dating, what would it look like?
I mean, I have my answer.
Go ahead.
So, my answer actually already exists, and it's called Ready to Love.
I knew you were going
to
go there.
On OWN. It is the best dating reality show I've ever watched.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It is, everybody's between like 30, early 30-ish, and like 50s.
Yes. Yes. Better.
Yes.
Okay.
They're in Atlanta. I think they've only done Atlanta, and they are in real life, but they have to go on dates. And they incorporate everything. They're like, you did this on social. You FaceTimed this one. You sent this one a text. Did you text her goodnight? That means you didn't like her. That's how she read it. There's a guy coaching the men and how to date and what they're doing and like attachment styles and like all types of stuff.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great show. Yeah.
A great show. And everybody gets to still live their life. Nobody has to quit their job.
Yeah.
Nobody has to do like stupid shit like that. Everybody keeps their life, and then they get love, or at least a good sense of self.
Yep.
On top of it, it is the best.
It's great.
I love it.
I think they start off living in a house together.
They start off like at a meetup.
At a meetup, but then they go back to their actual lives, and then we just watch them date throughout the week, like each other. So it's like it very much does a good job of like incorporating real world into it. Incorporating like texting, and like they had a whole guy that was like sending good morning texts to everyone, and they had a whole conversation about that. They do a really good job of like integrating real world dating into the show, which The Bachelor is like we're watching them date in a vacuum.
So
it's like not very realistic,
and then wonder why everybody
breaks up afterwards. That's true. That's a good answer.
Is it streaming on anything?
It's on OWN, so if you have a login, then you can go to OWN.com and watch just watch everything. Sounds like, I think you can watch it with that one, like with commercials.
Oh, great. Oh, sounds like my night is planned, so great, cool.
That is ideal.
Yeah.
It's called Ready to Love. I did not know the details of how, that's amazing.
Oh, it's a great one. I think another great aspect of that show is their maturity, too.
Yeah.
Like, these are... They're in their 30s to 50s, so, like, they've been around the block. Mm-hmm. Some of them have kids. Like, it just feels more real than... Hannah be great, whatever, but she was also 24, so it's like I couldn't really relate as much.
Yeah.
could relate in the sense of, like, oh, I remember going through I've been there. But it was cool to, like, be watching Ready to Love with people, like, as I'm dating as well, and we're, like, all in the same boat and dealing with the same things. And I think, if anything's close to, like, a perfect dating show, I would definitely say... Ready to Love. And it's like super diverse racially,
body,
hair, like it's casting wise I think it's really great too.
Yeah,
they had a 50-year-old minister on the show.
And wasn't he a virgin or something?
No, he wasn't a virgin, but he was talking about sex he was just entertaining in general, but they just have like a cool cross section. They do the casting really well.
Check it out. I'm really excited to watch it.
It's so good.
Dating TV is my favorite, especially in the summer. Like, I feel like it's my just gift to myself every night. So that's nice little gonna be added to the repertoire.
Check it out for sure.
Amazing. Well, let everyone know where
that'd
they can...
be your ultimate.
I had to think for a moment, but as she said, I was like, that would probably be closest to that. I just want somewhere where it feels real, like real life dating. The Bachelor is great. It's great entertainment, but they are dating in a vacuum, and then we see that they all basically break up afterwards. Yeah. So like it's not working. But I want something that incorporates Instagram, incorporates real life world, like texting and DMing and like stuff that we're dealing with now as like millennials dating, like incorporate that into the show. And then also show me people that reflect America. I don't want to see 25-year-old blonde women. Like, we see you guys all the time. Like, show us other people who are part of America that date as well. And so that's my biggest thing and what I would want to see.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say it again, even though you both said it, the age. I think the age. Like, you're actually looking for something serious.
Yeah.
Like,
When you're not, like, I remember when on JoJo's season of The Bachelorette, someone wrote this hilarious recap. And I think it was whoever was recapping for Vulture. I wish I remember who it was.
Oh, she's still funny. She's great.
She's dope.
Oh, my God. I can't remember her name. But
I think her name's Allie.
Allie. Okay.
But she always called her sweet baby JoJo, and she had this long-standing thing of like someone needs to give her a bottle and put her to bed. She was just overwhelmed. She was young. She was so like just innocent and just wide-eyed and just truly like I wanted to burp her. She was so she was such a baby, and I just remember being like, it's sweet. And I wasn't that much when she was on TV. I was only like 3 years older than her, you know, but
how old was she?
I think she was 25.
25.
Yeah, 25 and 28, there's a big difference.
A lot happens in those three years. And I think she was, even now I'm really like, she was immature for her age. Like Hannah B's definitely more mature together, self-aware than JoJo was.
For sure.
You know, it was like my 15-year-old niece is more mature than JoJo was. And she just was innocent. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. She's a sweet, beautiful girl who's never experienced anything.
She's very doe-eyed.
But it feels like, I mean, I think the thing that we all love about The Bachelor franchise probably is like the element of fantasy that they create of this like weird glossy world, but then also like I don't actually want that. Yeah, like I want this. I want to hear the weird dirty shit, and I want I want to see the text, and I want to see the thing, and I want to see people who are like people that I know and not like glossy creepy, you know, Instagram robot people.
So true.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you and follow you.
Cool. Well, we recap The Bachelor and Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise every week.
And whatever else they come up with. And, you did Bachelor Winter Games,
We did
too.
Do Bachelor Winter Games.
I love Winter Games.
They come up with another spinoff. We'll do it. But our podcast is exclusive on Patreon. It's patreon.com/the1BlackGirlsTheNumber1Rose. And then all the social media places as well.
All the socials. You can email us at the2BlackGirlsTheNumber1Rose@gmail.com.
Yep, search us on Instagram, Facebook. We live tweet as well. Twitter and Bachelor Tuesday. Nation is like a world.
Yeah.
There's people who just have like Twitter's just to live tweet The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And we like live tweet it as well. So it's the2BLK Girls, the1Rose. So if you watch The Bachelor, definitely follow us on Twitter.
And we will link all of these in the show notes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, as I kick you. thank you so much for coming, Genius.
Thanks for having us.
This was fun.
Listeners, thank you for 100 episodes.
This is our 100th episode of Bachelor.
So cool.
We brought experts. Follow us at 51 First Dates Pod anywhere. Join our secret Facebook group. Just, you know, keep sending the love. We really appreciate it. And send your worst first dates to 51firstdatespod@gmail.com.
And
go on a date.
Go on a date. Oh my God, I almost forgot. On our 100th time. We love you. Go on a date. I fucked it up. It's okay.
3 To your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.